Let's take the scriptures and turn in them to Ezekiel 45. Ezekiel 45, we're coming to the end of the book, and we're about to see, not so much in this chapter, though still pointing us forward here in this chapter, but in a couple chapters, a very magnificent scene that points us forward to the Lord and the fruit of His kingdom. In chapter 47, and there. So, here in Ezekiel 45, we're reading, still in the temple and the sanctuary and talking about that, and we'll read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 25. These are the words of our God. And when you divide by lot the land for inheritance, you shall offer an allotment to the Lord, a holy portion of the land, and length shall be given, shall be the length of 25,000 cubits, and the width shall be 20,000. It shall be holy within all its boundary, round about. Out of this there shall be for the holy place a square, round about 500 by 500 cubits, and 50 cubits for its open space, round about. From this area you shall measure a length of 25,000 cubits, and a width of 10,000 cubits, and in it shall be the sanctuary, the most holy place. It shall be for the holy portion of the land. It shall be for the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary who come near to minister to the Lord. And it shall be a place for their houses and a holy place for the sanctuary. An area 25,000 cubits in length and 10,000 in width shall be for the Levites, the ministers of the house, and for their possession, cities to dwell in. You shall give the city possession of an area 5,000 cubits wide and 25,000 cubits long alongside the allotment of the holy portion. It shall be for the whole house of Israel. The prince shall have land on either side of a holy allotment and the property of the city, adjacent to the holy allotment and the property of the city, on the west side toward the west and on the east side toward the east, and in length comparable to one of the portions from the west border to the east border. This shall be his land for possession in Israel. And so my princes shall no longer oppress my people, but they shall give the rest of the land to the house of Israel according to their tribes. And thus says the Lord God, enough, you princes of Israel. Put away violence and destruction and practice justice and righteousness. Stop your expropriations for my people, declares the Lord God. You shall have just balances, a just ephah and a just bath. The ephah and the bath shall be the same quantity, so that the bath will remain or contain a tenth of a homer, and the ephah a tenth of a homer. Their standard shall be according to the homer. The shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 20 shekels, 25 shekels, and 15 shekels shall be your mene. This is the offering that you shall offer, a sixth of an ephah from a homer of wheat, a sixth of an ephah from a homer of barley, and the prescribed portion of oil, namely the bath of oil, a tenth of a bath from each core, which is 10 baths or a homer, for 10 baths are a homer. And one sheep from each flock of 200 from the watering places of Israel for a grain offering, for a burnt offering, and for peace offerings to make atonement for them, declares the Lord God. All the people of the land shall give to this offering for the prince of Israel. It shall be the prince's part to provide the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the drink offerings at the feast, on the new moons and on the Sabbaths. At all the appointed feasts of the house of Israel, he shall provide the sin offering, the grain offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings to make atonement for the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, in the first month, on the first of the month, you shall take a young bull without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. The priest shall take some of the blood from the sin offering and put it on the doorpost of the house, on the four corners of the ledge of the altar, and on the post of the gate of the inner court. Thus you shall do on the seventh day of the month for everyone who goes astray or is naive, so you shall make atonement for the house. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover. A feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten. On the day, the prince shall provide for himself and all the people of the land a bull for the sin offering. During the 7 days of the feast, he shall provide a burnt offering as to the Lord, 7 bulls and 7 rams without blemish on every day of the 7 days, and a male goat daily for the sin offering. He shall provide as a grain offering an ephah with a bowl, an ephah with a ram, and a hin of oil with an ephah. In the seventh month, on the 15th day of the month, at that feast, he shall provide like this 7 days for the sin offering, the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the oil. And that is the word of the Lord. So the vision continues for Ezekiel, where we see here the division of the land that would be for the priests who come near to the sanctuary through verse 4, and the Levites, verse 5, and the whole city and as a holy portion through verse 6. And the prince, and then the remainder of the people through verse 8. And then through verse 12, God's justice declared to the rulers that they must stop their ungodly rule of the people, but rather rule with justice and righteousness. They were then, because of their unrighteousness, to offer sacrifices to atone for their sins, pointing, of course, for rulers that salvation, even for them, is found in Christ alone. Just as it says in Timothy, our God desires all kinds of people, even rulers, to be saved. And in particular, these sacrifices were to be made throughout the year, at the beginning of the year, at the Passover and at the Feast of Tabernacles. You notice also, perhaps if you're thinking about it in verse 17, the language that you find in Colossians when it's talking, when it is, uses the language of new moons and on Sabbaths and so forth. And so it brings a context to what Paul is talking about when he brings those things up. He's talking about ceremonial law and the many feast days that there are, as he's talking about here, the Lord bringing it to Ezekiel. And so you see here in this passage a need to of Christ to come and be that once for all sacrifice to atone for all the sins of his people. And so we are called to look to Christ to cleanse us from sin, and then also to pursue holiness, which they are doing here as well. Beloved, let's pray to our God. Our Father, we're thankful for the ceremonial law, though we be not under it as the church. But we're thankful for it as it points forward to Christ and our need of Him and every part of our worship today. Father, we're thankful that you fulfill in Christ all of these things that we're reading about in this chapter. All of the sacrifices and the measurements and even the allotments of land and portions for the people. For we have a greater inheritance, Christ himself. And in that we have a heavenly country, even that Abraham looked forward to, will be allotted to us, his people. And in that, we have the description, though we might not understand fully what it means, of the many mansions that will be given to your people. And Father, we exalt your Son in that, because we know that we deserve none of it, and we will not receive any of it unless we are in Christ. And so, Father, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would change our hearts, regenerate our hearts, make us to be born from above, or born again, and that you would change our heart from stone to flesh, that you would make our wills changed, that we would no longer be unable to seek after you, but be able to seek after you and to cry out to you with faith and repentance of our sin to you, the Lord God, in Christ Jesus. And Father, in that we ask that you would justify us, adopt us, and then sanctify us, and bring us unto glory. Father, we have, even as your people, committed many sins and broken many sins, all of the commandments we are guilty of outside of Christ. And even this day we've broken all of your commandments. We've not loved you as we ought to have, and we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. Especially on this, the Lord's Day, we have not focused our entire day, whether in thought, word, or deed, upon serving you and serving your people, and serving those in need, whether physically or spiritually. We pray that you would forgive us of these sins and the many more, and that you would cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we're thankful that you would give us an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who pleads for us and who is our shelter and our rock. And so, Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, And so hear us and answer according to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.